attention, everyone. The unpleasant noise you are about to hear is not a mistake.
Welcome to our podcast today, entitled Thank You, But I'm Not Pregnant, I'm Just Fat. And introducing our host today, Miss Fatty!
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to our second episode. As you probably noticed, I'm Mrs. Fatty, and you are listening to Thank You, But I'm Not Pregnant, I'm Just Fat. It is September 2nd of 2006, and as you can see, it's a little bit more well-polished the second time around here. Basically, things are only going to get better. We're going to definitely be more organized. And keeping in the spirit of organization, we're going to have a simple format for each show. I'm going to start out with the status report, and then we're going to move into this week's topic. So without further ado, let's start with this week's status report.
Miss Fatty's status report.
Miss Fatty's status report. Miss Fatty's status report. Miss Fatty's status report.
Well, this week hasn't been the greatest week when it comes to exercise and dieting for me. It was the first week that we're back at school, and being a senior, I should know better, but when you start classes, it means less sleep, more food, and no time to exercise, in my opinion. I've been eating out a lot, and I also, when I'm at home, I've been eating things that are fast and easy, like Hot Pockets and just anything that's really easy to make. And then we have been doing a little bit more exercising. I haven't gone out and ran any night, but I did go and walk a couple nights, and then also we played racquetball a couple times. And racquetball is an amazing workout. It's probably the number one workout I would recommend to somebody, just because it's not boring, whereas I get really bored if I go on a bike or elliptical or a treadmill, and it's also a little competitive and a little bit dangerous, so it kind of gets your adrenaline going. So we definitely recommend racquetball to anyone who isn't sure where to start with exercise. Now, as for school, I do have some interesting, funny stories to tell you. I have a professor that we are going to name the Crazy Professor. First of all, the start-out class, she walks in with this crazy curly hair and this long snake print skirt, which is kind of unusual for, you know, conservative Midwest school. And then all of a sudden, she's about 5 minutes late, so everybody was sitting down ready. And she walks in, and the entire room starts to smell like weed. Like, first I'm kind of smelling, like, does anyone else smell that? You know, maybe I just don't know what the smell is. But everyone else is kind of looking around like, do you smell that? And I'm like, wow, my teacher smells like weed. So then she starts to lecture to us. And the lecture is crazy, okay, to start out with. She starts whispering really, really quiet, and then she starts to talk really, really, really loud, and then she starts to talk really quiet, and then she starts to scream and yell about things. And the whole time she's doing this, she's got these crazy facial expressions, like her eyes get really, really big, and then she starts squinting, and then her teeth gets really big, and she kind of's got that Joker grin. And so the whole time I'm like, whoa, like this is gonna be a trip anytime I have to come to this class. Then I find out that I start listening to her, like, actually talking. Once I get past the weed smell and the insistent yelling upon me, I start to listen to what she's saying. And the class is culture and personality, and this teacher is nuts. She starts talking about if a culture were to eat yams for every single meal, then they would have a different culture than ours. And I was kind of like, yeah, that's pretty much a given. Then she starts to talk about how they would have different words for yams, and then she starts making up her own words for yams. So she's like, "Ah-da-da-da-da-da-da," could mean yams. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this teacher is talking in gibberish to me. What is the deal? So that's like kind of a trip there. And then she starts talking about brain fat, although it's not even on the syllabus. She keeps talking about how we're going to cover it. And then she starts talking about her sabbatical. And she was on sabbatical for the last year, so anytime a professor claims they're on sabbatical, it makes me a little bit nervous, because, you know, why were you actually on sabbatical? And she's like, well, I was on sabbatical because I was studying the phenomenon of twins. So I'm like, okay, you know, that's a little odd, but whatever, you know. And she says that being an anthropologist is extremely difficult because you have to deal with other cultures, which I can understand. And then she talks about how the most difficult thing she's ever had to deal with is when she was working with someone from another culture and they kept cursing her. And she just didn't know how to deal with someone that was cursing her. And she really felt worried that, you know, it was going to actually happen and she really was going to be cursed. And I was like, okay, let's keep yourself in check here. You're probably not going to be cursed, but, you know, okay, whatever. Okay, and so then we have our second class, and that was today. And she starts out the class saying she's going to visually bombard us with pictures to open our mind. And I'm like, okay, bring it on. And she gets the overhead up there, and she starts putting these pictures of twins from Twin Fest on the wall. And that is all the pictures are, just pictures of twins. And every picture she puts up backwards, so all like the numbers and letterings backwards, because she didn't flip it over right. And they're all a little bit fuzzy, and like all of them are just twins. And I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden at the end of the like montage, she shows a picture of her and her sister, which they look like, but they don't obviously look as like twins. And she's like, well, I was wearing a Norwegian shirt, and she was wearing a French shirt, and we thought that was pretty funny, so I put this picture in with it. And I was kind of like, does anyone else get that? I don't get why that's funny. I'm kind of looking around and everyone else is a little confused. Well, later in the class we found out that they're twins, but they're not identical twins. So that was why it's funny, because they had, you know, shirts from different cultures, but they were not the same culture. I was like, okay, let me see that anthropologist humor. So then she starts, you know, talking about the size of samples and how when she does studies and she starts studying statistics, everyone wants to talk about how big their sample is. So then while she's talking about how they're always bragging about how big their sample is, she starts making the motion of jerking off, and she's like, oh, my sample's bigger than yours, and she's like stroking an imaginary penis on her. And I'm just kind of looking around like, whoa, what a quacko. And so then she kind of moves on, just kind of giggles to her. She kind of does a little giggle, like she knows what's going on, but okay. And then she starts talking about how that she went to this conference, and there was this guy who is the main presenter, and he was doing twins from a genetic standpoint. And she said that he referred to them as quote-unquote scary, and said that Twins Fest was like a circus. And so then she starts ripping into this presenter and saying that he's discriminating against her, and he's I just want to raise my hand and tell him that he was out of line and that twins are freaks. And I'm thinking, whoa, this chick is a freak. This does not speak well for twins. And then she starts talking about how they talk about like conception of twins, like actually the rate of conception of twins is pretty high. It's like, forgive me, it's like 30% or around there. Like, it's actually extremely high, but the actual, you know, when you actually go through with having kids with twins any longer than a couple of weeks, it just doesn't happen. And so she was talking about how everybody is probably had a twin, but they kill their quote-unquote womb buddy. She's like, I didn't kill my womb buddy. And then she starts accusing us of killing womb babies. And then she starts talking about how twins are used and they're abused in the studies, and she just tells us that she's been discriminated against and people call her quote-unquote four-legged freak and a cellular mutation and things like that. And she's kind of like accusing us of doing it. And I'm just thinking, no, I don't think you're crazy because of the twin thing. I think you're crazy because you smell like weed and you're wearing hooker shoes. She's wearing these big, big old black hooker shoes. And I just couldn't imagine. Like, this professor is a trip anytime I come into class. So I'll definitely keep you posted on all of that. But next, let's get into our main topic.
Topic of the week. 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 Topic of the week.
The topic of the week this week is sex. There's a lot of things that are difficult when you're a full-figured gal that relate to sex. First of all, the whole notion of sexy is a little bit harder to fathom with a full-figured gal just because of society's impression of what sexy is. I think a great illustration of this is the Victoria's Secret commercial that says, "What is sexy?" And then it shows a picture of, you know, Giselle in the Body by Victoria bras. So immediately that is just put into our minds that is what sexy is. And there's something there could be anything that's any further from that. It would be a full figure girl. So we're going to attack what is sexy, you know, what's the best way to have sex in order to enjoy it. And then basically some issues that might arise because we are a full figure girl. First of all, how to feel sexy. Now, it is not impossible to feel sexy. I think the number one thing is you have to make sure that you feel sexy. And a lot of times that is your outward appearance. Now, of course, I'm huge on, you know, being beautiful inside, but sexy is, after all, a attitude. And a lot of times being, you know, a little bit different on the outside can, you know, knock you into a different attitude. So the first thing I'm going to suggest, which is one of the most important things when it comes to sex, is your underwear. Now, as a full-figure gal, I think all of us can agree, it's kind of convenient sometimes to wear the granny panties, because one, you feel like you're covering up things, and you're not going to have things falling out, and of course we have cellulite, so it's nice to have an extra layer of fabric there, so you know cellulite isn't showing through your pants. But when it comes to being sexy, you have to kind of step outside your normal boundaries and go for the sexiest piece of lingerie, which is a thong. Now, of course, finding a thong in a plus size can actually be pretty difficult, because once again, people think you shouldn't be sexy just because you're, you know, a plus size gal, which is completely ridiculous. So I would recommend that you go ahead and look on the internet and go into plus size stores. I think those are the two best places to find them. Now, something I recently discovered, I was trying to make some thongs I had bought too small, a little bit bigger. So I had gotten some really lazy, fun fabric from my fabric store and I actually sewed them so they were larger. So that could always be an option for you. You can just go ahead and buy some underwear you like at a store. I would recommend staying away from string thongs, just because those are harder to sew. But you could just use your sewing machine if you have one, or even by hand, and go ahead and put like panels of lace in there. So it actually does add another design element, but it makes it so it's a little bit more comfortable for you. Also, once you get past the underwear, you're going to want to go ahead and do the sexy hair. Of course, that it means it's down. Don't have your hair back. Just because when you're down, guys like to be able to grab it, and obviously it's pretty restrictive when it's up. So you're going to want to have it down. A lot of times you're going to want to have it curly. You want to have a lot of volume, so if you blow dry it, you want to put your head upside down and blow dry it upside down, which will add a lot of volume. And even add some product for volume. I know they even have a product out there called Big Sexy Hair, and I've heard that works very well to keep the volume up. Also, you're going to want to make sure you have your sexy makeup on. The sexy makeup, I'm going to give you a hint here. Makeup can actually make your face look a lot thinner. So something you can use even when you're going out, and especially if you're anticipating getting frisky later, is, you know, do your foundation like you normally do, do your powder like you normally do, then go ahead and apply a bronzer. And the bronzer you're going to want to apply right along your cheek line. So you want to make that fish face and suck your cheeks in. Go ahead and apply the bronzer at the bottom part right underneath it. And then, you know, blend it in. We don't want one streak. Blend it in on both sides. You're also going to put a little bit of bronzer underneath your chin. And you're going to want to put a little bit on your brow, top of your brow bone. And then also on like the bridge of your nose, because those are the places you naturally tan. And then lastly, you'll want to take a blush and kind of blend that in on the apples of your cheeks, as well on top of your nose, very lightly, and kind of blend it in with the bronzer. Well, what that's going to do is it's going to add a natural shadow in that area, as well underneath your chin. And what that does is it makes your cheeks look a lot more sunken in, therefore thinner. And of course, if you have a, you know, a little bit chin that hangs down a little bit, you'll want to put a little bit of bronzer. That'll bring it up too. So of course, sexy, you know, makeup can be sexy and it can also make you look thinner. I would definitely recommend that you do eyelashes. If you're not going out, which is not something you'd want to do if you're going to go out, but if you're kind of just waiting at home for your special someone, or you're going to go out to a club so it's going to be kind of dark, go ahead and do the fake eyelashes. Fake eyelashes are very easy to find, and they're usually very cheap and pretty easy to apply, and they instantly make you look and feel sexier. Also, if you have the ability, get some acrylic nails. There's nothing sexier to a guy than the acrylic nails, you know, into the back, you know, that kind of thing. I would stick with French tip, because that's definitely more classic, and also it isn't very, it's not tacky, and sometimes you can get tacky if you do colors on the hands. Also, do jewelry. Now, jewelry is very important, just because it can also elongate you, can make you look thinner. Plus, it's kind of, you know, sexy having the necklace in the mouth, necklace there, you know, kind of adds another element that's not necessarily there before. You'll want to go ahead and make long necklaces as well as dangly earrings, which of course all brings the focus downwards and elongates your body. And then also add high heels. Now just think, if you're not going out, you can wear the stilettos. It's not a big deal. You just put those stilettos on when you're in your house, if you're waiting for your husband to get home. And that's instantly, especially if you keep them on while you're having sex, like wear a skirt so you don't have to take them off. It certainly makes it a lot sexier. They can grab the heel, you know. There's definitely a lot, you know, a sexy element. Plus, of course, it makes you visually longer, which makes you thinner. Now, also, you know, beyond that, looking sexy, you have to set the mood of sexy. Of course, setting the mood involves lighting. Don't use your harsh fluorescent light, the yellowish light, fluorescent light. It's not flattering. So, no matter what, if you feel sexy, it's going to be ruined the minute you turn the light on. I prefer to have a darkened room with candles, and I know that's extremely cliche, but believe me, there's more cliche things to come. And what that does is it softens the light, so not only do you have enough light to see each other's faces, to feel the emotion, but then you don't have quite enough light maybe to see your less desirable regions. something I forgot to mention before with the looks, getting a tan makes you look thinner automatically just because your skin's darker. It also naturally adds that like shadow on your brow bone. Of course, I'm not suggesting everyone goes out there and gets skin cancer. I use Mystic Tanning, and some people say it doesn't look natural. Mystic Tanning does look natural. You'll just want to make sure you exfoliate before you go, and you'll want to make sure that you put plenty of the barrier cream, the lotion on your wrists. I always recommend the wrists, as well as the top of the hands, maybe even a little bit of the top of the wrist, and then your feet and your hands and everything. So that does make you look sexier and thinner. And then as for the mood also, in addition to candles, you'll want music. Now, of course, there is a value in silence, so definitely experiment with silence. But you should also try some soft music if you plan on like making love, like a Norah Jones, the soundtrack for the Garden State is actually pretty good. But if you want to have sex, you're gonna, pardon my language, fuck, you're gonna want something a little bit harder. So you're gonna wanna go with a rap or rock genre. Also, always a good tip to get you in the mood is to do a little bit of a chat with your significant other before, like as part of foreplay. Now foreplay is amazing for getting you in the mood. I think that when you're with somebody, it gradually becomes less important, but definitely affirm the fact that you need to have the kissing and the touching before you have sex. So what I would recommend is laying side by side facing each other on the bed, and while maybe doing some mutual masturbation, you can talk about past sexual experiences that you've really liked, or sexual fantasies you've had in the past, or something you saw on TV, or something you want to try, or anything like that, and just kind of have a chat, and even talking about it makes you a little bit more, you know, ready to go at it. And then finally, you know, to set the mood, you're going to want to shave. I think this is kind of a scary thought. I know personally, before I did it, it was scary, but you'll need to shave not only your legs and your arms, your stomach, your toes, you don't want any hair, you know. Do your lip if you have to, pluck your eyebrows, but you'll want to shave down there. And of course, you don't have to shave everything off, although I can tell you, I think it makes me feel 20 times more sexier just because everything is touching more down there, which is giving, even just like walking across the room, it can get you aroused. But of course, you don't have to do that. Just trimming everything. You will not find a Playboy model that has a full bush. Everything is trimmed, landing strip. So I suggest, if you have the means, to get it professionally waxed, and that way they can actually do something with it, even if you don't want it completely gone. Or if you're going to be doing it at home, I would recommend that you get in the shower, or the bathtub preferably, take a hot bath at the end, do it, make sure that you can shave around and then just trim off the top with like some scissors. That'll work. Also, you'll want to go ahead and use like Bikini Zone afterwards, which will take away all those ingrown hair bumps, which of course are not sexy at all. But that's going to make everything a little bit better for everyone. And it's a pleasant surprise for your significant other. Now let's get into the actual action of having sex. Positions are hard when you're a person of size, just because no one is comfortable, nobody is enjoying themselves when they're being squished, to be pretty blunt. And I know I've done it where I've felt squished, or I know I'm squishing someone, so it's not, you know, anyone's particular fault. But there are some positions you could do to alleviate that. The simple on top, on bottom issue, of course, does make it a little bit more difficult. So I would recommend, of course, doing it from behind, which does help with that. Also, if the woman lays on her back at the end of the bed, the guy can stand at the end of the bed and have sex that way. And that way, not all the weight, he's supporting his own weight, he's not, you know, leaning on top of the girl. Also, something good is if the girl is on top, if there's something for her to hold above her. I know this is funny, but I've been in a bunk bed before. I could hold on to the bunk bed and pull myself off of him, which alleviates some of the weight as well as kind of giving you an arm workout while you're at it. There's something kind of sexy about the whole action of having your hands above your head. A good thing is if the woman's on the bottom, the guy can kind of, instead of laying on top of her, he can grab her feet and kind of use them to hold himself up so he's more of in a vertical position. And of course, that's a little bit, you know, better. Now, there's some things you can do to make sex better when you're full size. You can use lube, which will prevent you from chafing because there's a lot more skin there to be rubbing together. You can also use powders for that, which can prevent odor when you have a lot of moisture in the area, as well as providing a little bit of a barrier with that friction. And you can also go ahead and stretch every day. Even if you don't feel like working out and you're just watching TV, get on the floor when you're watching TV, do a straddle, lean to a side, lean to the other side, lean in the middle. Slowly build up your flexibility, because that will help in the bedroom. I mean, it's a lot better when you can lift your leg all the way up, whereas you're like, oh, that's too far, don't go any further. I mean, it does make it a little bit sexier. And of course, cardio always helps with sex, because sex, after all, should be a little vigorous. So you should definitely be working on your cardio by walking or running or doing something physical every day, taking the stairs instead of the elevator. Now, personally, I don't like to eat before I have sex, because it makes me full, and then I don't want to have, you know, do anything physical, I don't have sex. So I would actually eat afterwards, and it actually can kind of be a fun bonding activity afterwards. And then finally, don't drink. If you constantly are relying on alcohol to get you sexually aroused and get yourself laid, then you're never going to fully enjoy the experience when you're sober. So definitely, if you're trying to experimentation, you can use a little bit of liquid courage, but don't get yourself drunk or even remotely very tipsy, because it's just going to do nobody
any good.
So that's it for this week's topic on sex. Of course, we might address sex again in the future, depending on what kind of comments we get. Now, next week's topic is going to be on friendship. Now, I'm a little bit of a relationship scholar. It's actually part of my emphasis in school right now. So I've taken a lot of classes about friendship and romantic relationships and families, which are all issues that we're going to probably deal with in the future. But next week, we're going to deal with just exclusively friendships. Friendships are very interesting compared to a romantic relationship, because they are created and they dissolve in a much different way than most of our relationships in the romantic realm. So we're going to look at friendships with the weight issue in mind. So I think we all know of relationships that have been created as well as dissolved because of weight. I also think that weight can be a major factor in what you actually ultimately take from the relationship. And so basically what I really would like everyone to do is definitely send me your comments, send me MP3 messages if you have a story yourself, even just explaining a friendship you hold right now and how weight relates to it. I will definitely share those on the air. I'm hoping eventually to get like a comment section from everyone, kind of get some interaction from you guys. So you can send any emails you might have to missfattypodcast@hotmail.com. You can send any MP3s, or I'll take WAV files too, about any weight issues you might have a question about or about a friendship. You can send that to fatty200@podomatic.com. And then also, I am available on MySpace. You can add me as a friend, you can add a comment, send me a message, or I will actually have a little bit of a background behind this week's or next week's episode. For example, you will be able to see what kind of friendship issues we will be getting into next week. Also, you can kind of get some background on my experience in the realm of friendship and weight. And I will have some backstory for everything I'm going to provide next week. So you can go there at myspace.com/thankyoubut. That's all one word there. And then finally, I just want to let you guys know that I'm very grateful that you're listening, and I encourage you to comment. I encourage you to keep subscribing, and that's it. Thanks for tuning in.
And as always, we'd like to give a special thanks to Magnatune.com, which is an independent online recording label that hand selects its own artists, sells its catalog music through online downloads and print-on-demand CDs, and licensed music for commercial and non-commercial use. You can find all of the music that I featured today at Magnatune.com. If you'd like a list of those artists, you can visit our website at fatty200.podomatic.com.
Star bright, I never met no one.